Hello, my name's Tony, and this is my audition for Gorilla and Okapi. Hopefully this is something near to what you're looking for. And this is an extract from Chapter 1. The parting of the water lily suggested something was moving under the water at great speed. From their enormous branch, the leopard and gorilla had a clear view of the bright green swamp below and a beautiful okapi drinking in its shallows. The okapi stretched her long neck forward, pinned back her velvety ears, and took another gulp of water, unaware of the approaching danger. "Only one creature could make the water move like that, and it's not a hippo," whispered the leopard.
"Do you mean a crocodile?" stammered the gorilla.
"Yes, and you must stop it."
"Me?"
The okapi raised her head as an enormous Nile crocodile opened its jaws above the surface of the water. The leopard sprang into the air and knocked the okapi to the ground just as the crocodile snapped its jaws shut and furiously thrashed its powerful tail. The gorilla threw himself off the branch, rolled over the ground, and bounded towards the commotion. There was a standoff at the water's edge. The crocodile was motionless, with its cold eyes staring at the leopard. At last, the leopard growled. "You must have swum a long way to get here, and I expect you're lost. So let me tell you where you are. This is Silverback Valley, and this mighty gorilla is Prince Khivu. You must obey his law. No hunting's allowed in Silverback Valley." The leopard gestured for the gorilla to say something, and Khivu stepped forward hesitantly.
"I banish you, crocodile, for breaking our law. You must leave Silverback Valley immediately."
The crocodile rolled his eyes and hissed menacingly. Then the leopard gave such a fierce roar, the crocodile shook its thick, scaly body back under the water lilies. The startled okapi lay in the mud, shaking with fear. The leopard gently reassured her that everything was all right. "I'm sorry if I hurt you."
"You saved my life," replied the okapi, climbing to her feet and breathing heavily.
"Let me help you up," said Khivu. "I think you've got two black eyes," he added with concern.
"They're my markings, Your Highness. I'm not hurt."
At that moment, the sun broke through the trees, and rays of light danced upon the okapi's glossy coat. At first, her body appeared to be dark brown, but it was also a deep red color. Her rump and legs were striped black and white like a zebra, and yet her long neck gave her the appearance of a small giraffe. She was a remarkably beautiful creature.
"I'm so glad you're not hurt. What's your name?" asked Khivu.
"I'm called Okapi."
"You can call me Khivu, and my brave friend here is Koshia."
The leopard was not pleased with this introduction, and he took Khivu aside for a private word.
"I don't think you should encourage the animals to call you by your first name. Remember, you're a prince."
Khivu looked thoughtful. "I could have jumped on that crocodile, but the fact is, I was scared of it. How can I be a prince and a protector of the animals if I'm frightened of one of them?" And this is an extract from Chapter 20. They continued along the cliff until they came to the narrow rocky path. This was where they said goodbye to the forest elephant. The path was too narrow for him, and anyway he was afraid of heights. The elephant carefully twisted his trunk around Khivu and lifted him up so he could untie the crocodile, and then he returned him to the ground. The crocodile made the mistake of moving his powerful tail, and this had an unbalancing effect. He fell to the ground with an alarming thud. He was dazed, confused, and refused to speak to the elephant again. The journey down the cliff was very difficult. Okapi carried the crocodile on her back for a little way, but he was too heavy, and the narrowness of the path made it dangerous. Then Khivu dragged him by his tail, but this was painful for the crocodile, and he insisted on walking. It was the middle of the night when they eventually reached the clump of young bamboo trees at the bottom of the cliff. That is where they slept. The next day their muscles ached terribly, and it was agreed the crocodile would have to walk as best he could. they made very slow progress. Following Kashir's nose, they eventually emerged out of the forest upon a muddy bank. In front of them, under a cloudy sky, was an open expanse containing the great river. The slow-moving brown water looked very dangerous. The crocodile was so anxious about meeting Queen Madamunga that he began to shake, and his scales made a strange rattling sound. "What's wrong with you?" asked Kivu. "Can I go back to Silverback Valley?" "But what would you eat?" asked Okapi. That question made the crocodile feel very guilty. Then a great spout of water rising from the river distracted them all. "What's that?" asked Kivu. "It's a herd of hippos," replied the crocodile nervously. "I can see crocodiles floating next to them," added Okapi, squinting her eyes. "And they're very big." "They used to be my friends," said the crocodile. "I suppose there's no going back now. I must face Queen Madamunga." The crocodile waddled off down the riverbank. He slipped in the mud a few times, so he decided to slide on his belly and use his legs like paddles. He paused beside the brown water and looked back at Kivu, Koshia, and Okapi. He raised his little leg and waved at them. They were too shocked to wave back. Behind the crocodile, a giant wave was rising, and then it crashed onto the riverbank. Out of the foam and spray emerged an enormous hippopotamus. It was Queen Madamunga. She was as big as a whale, and she was furious. She hauled herself out of the river and galloped through the mud at an alarming speed towards the crocodile. The crocodile lay down, closed his eyes, and prepared to die. The next thing he felt was a strange out-of-body experience, as if he was flying. When he opened his eyes, he was lying in the arms of Queen Madamunga. "I remember your mother carrying you in her mouth after you hatched. You were a lovely baby, Kada." Kivu approached as close as he dared and stared open-mouthed. "Kada," he repeated. "We never did ask him his name." Kada, as we should call him, struggled free from Queen Madamunga's suffocating embrace and smiled an enormous crocodile smile. "Will you forgive me for biting you, Queen Madamunga? It was an accident. I was chasing a fish. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to break the covenant." "Of course I forgive you, darling. Could you ever forgive me for banishing you?" "I could. I do." "Thank you, Kada. I've missed you so much. Where did you go?" "I was trapped in Silverback Valley. The floods took me there." "Goodness gracious me," replied Queen Madamunga. "How did you get back?" "Prince Kivu, the famous silverback gorilla, brought me on an elephant's back. Look, he's over there with my friends." Kada turned around, but the riverbank was empty. Kivu, Koshia, and Okapi were already heading back to Silverback Valley. Queen Madamunga smiled doubtfully and embraced Kada even more tightly.